Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Josh, we got Maction tonight.
I didn't realize that.
We got Maction tonight, UB.
Oh.
That's my favorite thing in college sports is Maction. Where out of nowhere, just towards the end of the year, everyone decides Mac team's gonna play on Tuesday and Wednesday. Only the rest of the year. It's gonna be on ESPN, gonna be on CBS Sports, and you're gonna love it. It's so much fun. So much fun.
I just appreciate that it gets its own special day. Like everything else is like you have to just fight for airtime and hope somebody watches you. This is like, nope, we're going to give this to you.
Yep. And most college football fans are like, no, I love this. It's insanity. It's crazy. I mean, yesterday we had Ross Tucker call the game. He joined Shelton Bulldog yesterday. He was calling the game yesterday. Akron versus Kent State. Rivalry game, I guess, for the wagon wheel. Kent State
That's the best. Why don't pro teams do that? Like, yes, pro teams have their rivals.
Trophies.
Why don't you have pro teams have rivalry trophies like college football teams? That is so electric.
Oh, what rivalry is like the Paul Bunyan statue or something like that? Is it like it's like Minnesota and Michigan or something
So. hang on.
It's
I'll
so
find
ridiculous.
It here. I know like Wyoming and Colorado State is the bronze boot.
The bronze boot, yep.
And then there's a trophy for like Hawaii, Wyoming, but I don't know what the trophy's called. It's a rainbow, something rainbow trophy. Rainbow Bridge? No. I don't know.
It's for the Michigan State rivalry with the Paul Bunyan trophy.
Yeah. Like, why?
Because why not? Okay, let's figure this out right now, real quick. If the Bills, Bills Dolphins, what's the trophy?
A fake dolphin's fin. That's it. There's nothing else.
We got to think about this because there's got to be like some kind of historical significance here because Paul Bunyan is like the character is from Michigan.
So I'm learning that today.
I'm assuming that anyway, right? Because if it's a Michigan State rivalry, right?
Yeah.
Paul Bunyan.
No,
from. The origins of Paul Bunyan are not fully known, but several states claimed his birthplace.
Including Minnesota, Wisconsin,
Maine,
Nova Scotia,
Canada,
and then Michigan.
Okay, so I guess Michigan has the biggest claim to fame because they have a trophy named after him.
I think they just decided.
Yeah. But and then like you just brought up this wagon wheel thing. Like, okay, what's that about? You know, like there's got to be some sort of story, I feel like. So
Kent State and Akron are like 10 miles away from each other. That's really the big thing. They're just next door.
Maybe it's like a thing that dates back to... I don't know. There used to be like a wagon trail.
Really, it should be for the Bills and the Jets. The winner actually gets to claim being from New York.
Yes, and then you can't decide it again until you do it. Well, that's kind of difficult because there's a two-game series. So actually, no. You just if you win and then you lose later in the season, Well, it looks like you don't have it till next year.
If the Bills lose, you're actually from Canada. If the Jets lose, you're actually from New Jersey. Yeah. It makes more sense for them because their stadium's actually there, but the amount of jokes I've had from people that are not from Buffalo of like, so how close are you to the Canadian border? And you're like, oh, well, for me, like 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, so you're Canadian. And I'm like, well, no, not really, but
not
sure.
At all.
You know what? Let's move on from this conversation. I am. You know what? Yeah.
Okay, well, what about?
I also have milk in a bag. Yes.
But it's just like, that's the thing is you have to like look at, you know, Bills Dolphins or like Bills Patriots too.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, that is the hard part is you have to have some sort of historical significance.
College rivalries are better. I mean, partially why there's the huge bragging rights and everything like that.
And they've also, it feels like they mean so much more because it's not like in the NFL. Well, at least now it's a little different with the college football playoff being expanded.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, it was if you lose one game, you're out. And if it's a game against your
biggest rival
team that you play all the time, eventually they're going to become a rival. And it's, you know, so that does make sense why they mean more. But at the same time, like the division rivalries in the NFL, there are some that
crazy. There are some that are just like, okay, you play in the division, cool, whatever. But like,
right, like think about like what's a division rivalry? Like
Bears Packers just happened. That's one's
a rivalry.
Serious.
Yeah,
that one's
right.
real.
But like
another one that just happened: Baltimore Pittsburgh,
Cardinals Rams.
Yeah, I feel like there's nothing there.
Partially because the Rams not just got to L.A., but they haven't been there all that long in terms of how long the Cardinals have been in Arizona. Again,
49ers Seahawks for a while. I don't know
if it's still there, but for a long time,
that one was awesome.
That one's probably there. All of the NFC East is kind of there.
Oh, they hate each other so much.
They all hate each other,
good.
But they're all bad, so it's never good.
So good. They hate each other so much.
Like, think of the AFC South. Nobody in the AFC South hates each other.
AFC South. It's the Thursday night special.
Right.
And, they're all kind of just there. Indy always has felt like off being in there because they were originally part of the AFC East,
you
which
might
made way
have
more sense.
Something with, like, Jacksonville, Tennessee. NFC South is the same way. Like,
no.
No?
New Orleans, Atlanta.
Oh, they hate each other. I was looking at that
one's fun.
I was looking at Carolina specifically because Carolina is just
Carolina and Tampa both feel a little off there. New Orleans, Atlanta, though, just from seeing on social media, they hate each other.
Until he got traded, Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans.
Just specifically
hated
those
each other.
Two.
Just specifically those two. Not the Saints and the Bucks, but the two players that just hated each other, and now one of them's gone, so you can only ever see it again in a Super Bowl or a weird in-season matchup.
Yeah, the weird in-season matchup that you're all like, oh, remember that rivalry? Yeah, all right, cool, we get this tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like rivalries, especially we're getting close now. I think we've got one more week until rivalry week in college football with, of course, Michigan-Ohio State, Texas A&M and Texas for the first time in over a decade, the Lone Star Showdown.
Oh, so you're kind of battling just over the state.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense, though. I mean, you're in the same state.
They're like the two biggest universities, arguably.
Right.
That makes sense. That one I'm not really excited for. I don't like being a part of rivalry games as a fan. I might be weird in that sense. I remember watching, and this was a few years ago, but I used to watch these things called Derby Days. It was a YouTube channel, or it was a YouTube series by, I think, Copa 90, and it was just this host. He went to different rivalry games in soccer, and you got to kind of see that whole thing. And I remember one.
Man United, Man City is probably.
They never did one on that. Man United and Liverpool was the one I think they did.
Okay.
But for this particular episode, and it's stuck with me because I was like, that's how I feel. That is exactly how I feel. It was Arsenal and Tottenham.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Tottenham fan that was like, I wish I could just like fast forward to the 90 minutes and it be done. Or someone scores 1-0 and they just end the game. Like just in the first minute, score 1-0 and end the game. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like I don't love being a part of the rivalry games, like for like that sense. The NFL, it's not that. For college, it is for me. We've talked about it off air. I don't enjoy the Oklahoma game. I don't enjoy the Red River at all. Mm-hmm. I just want it over with. I'm constantly stressed, even when Oklahoma or Texas is bad, and that the rivalry doesn't have that sort of mystique of it's 1 versus 2 or it's the top 10 matchup. I'm sort of now there with A&M again, and it's been a long time. Like I'm excited for the matchup, but I'm also like, ooh. I'd rather Texas go into the SEC championship with one loss instead of kind of what Lane Kiffin was talking about with the SEC, where it's like, I'd rather not go in with two losses and potentially getting a third and being out entirely instead of having the bye. It's that's going to be an uncomfortable conversation, I think, for a lot of ADs and coaches of like, actually, yeah, we don't want to be in our conference championship game. Yeah. We want to be as far away from that as possible. Get our 10 wins, 2 losses in a big conference, and just shut it down until the playoff game, which that's a tough sell. But as a Texas fan, you know, first year in the SEC, I'd love to win the SEC championship, but you got to beat
A&M
first.
Here's a great rivalry name
actually,
for
Kentucky,
you.
Actually, Kentucky, too.
Mississippi State, Ole Miss.
Oh, the Egg Bowl.
The battle for the golden egg.
Yeah.
That is so good.
College rivalries are superior.
I just love the randomness of these things. Like, and obviously you get like the great ones like Army-Navy. Like that's you know.
Iconic. Yep.
It's iconic. And I love that Michigan-Ohio State is just the game.
The game, yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I love looking at these because they're so much fun to like delve into the history and the lore and everything like that. And it's like, sure, you get that. Like, obviously, Bills-Dolphins is like, you know, there was a whole thing in the 70s, and then, oh, the Bills break the drought finally and beat the Dolphins, and then it was kind of back and forth a little bit.
That's become a rivalry I truly enjoy.
Yeah, it's back now. Because
I'm not nervous.
You had the Marino-Kelly days, and then you had both teams sucked for a long time.
Terrible.
And now they're both, well, I don't think the Dolphins are better, but they're not as bad as they were.
They might be able to sneak into the playoffs, though.
They might. And that's kind of, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
Like, I mean, since Tua's come back, I listened to Colin Cowherd. Like, since Tua's come back, like, they're number one in third down efficiency at, like, 62%. And this is all since Tua came back.
They're
scoring, like, 28 points per game. Like they look much better. And then the Rams win was big. They've got somewhat of a soft schedule that they can sort of take advantage of. And then if you're kind of banking on, like, do you think Bo Nix right in the seventh seed is going to be able to kind of like keep this going for Denver, or do you think Tua and Mike McDaniel can kind of, you know, make a late run here?
Yeah, because I don't think there's
usually pick the vet.
I don't really think there's a way Miami could get over Baltimore or LA. Chargers being there is kind of really messing up other wild card teams. I mean,
yeah, we didn't get to talk about the AFC much yesterday. We were just talking more Chiefs and the Bills as a whole. But like the AFC has been kind of interesting this year in the sense of I think there's like maybe two elite teams, maybe.
And the rest
of the
teams
everyone else is really annoying.
Right. The rest of the teams are good, but they're not like, I'm going to go out there and beat you with no problem good. They're just like, hey, we're going to figure it out in the last second and win the game. Because when you look down past Bills Chiefs, you had the Steelers, who are obviously, well, they're the Steelers. They're always going to just have a winning season.
I think they're 5-0, though, against teams with above 500 record.
Really? Okay.
I think they just keep winning.
And if they win tomorrow, they play Thursday Night Football tomorrow night, right?
Yep, against Cleveland.
Yeah, if they win tomorrow night, they will officially secure their streak of keeping 500 seasons, above 500 seasons, I should say. So there you go, Mike Tomlin. Good job.
He's conservative to the point where I'd hate being a fan of his. Like, if I was a Steelers fan, I would be frustrated by Tomlin.
He doesn't play to win. He doesn't play to have fun. He plays to
have fun.
He plays to just annoy you and make you watch boring football for 3 hours.
But they win. They win. And they win. It is so frustrating.
Yeah. And then you look below them, you have the Texans who, they've been kind of a letdown this year, haven't they? I mean, partially because of injuries,
but I also, you know, the shine on Bobby Slowick has kind of worn off a little bit. Even I remember the Texans week seeing a lot of their fans like really not fans of Bobby Slowick, and I'm like, man, 3 months ago,
right?
That was Bobby PFF, and he was going to be a head coach in 20 minutes, and now all of a sudden Texans fans, and I, you know, of course, part of me smiling about it because I'm like, I kind of remember. The Dable years were very up and down. Like, he's going to be a head coach.
The growing pains.
Yeah. Well, not even that, but it was like, he's going to be a head coach in 15 minutes, too. I kind of want him run out of town like like a witch.
Yeah.
And it's not – it's always up and down. I feel like the only coordinator that is like – two coordinators that are just universally – the fans love them. Spagnuolo for the Chiefs with DC and Ben Johnson, offense coordinator for the Detroit Lions. I think after that, like it depends on the week. You'll get somebody that goes, see, I've been saying it for months. Like the coordinators are always first, then the players.
Yeah, right. It's interesting to see like the Texans season because, like I said, there are a lot of injuries there. But at the same time, CJ Stroud doesn't look like he did last year. And I don't understand why.
He didn't look great against Dallas, which was frustrating.
Yeah. I don't understand why, because he has technically more weapons than he did last year. He has Nico Collins back. He has Tank Dell, for what that's worth. I mean, he's been a little banged up here and there. And then who was the other one? the third wide receiver, not Diggs, but last year they had the three wide. It was Collins for a little bit. Then Tank Dell.
Stephon Diggs.
No.
Or it wasn't even John Metchie. Who was their third wide receiver last year?
He popped off last year, and he's doing nothing this year. Let me look at their roster here, because it's going to bother me. Because there is one more guy.
Well, I mean,
maybe he's not there anymore.
Their biggest issues have been injuries. But you know what, though? And credit to a lot of Bills fans I know who I've talked to about it. Oh, Robert Woods? Is that what you were thinking of?
No. It was – hold on. I'll find it. Continue your point.
But on the Texans, having spoken with a lot of fans this offseason, it was always like, well, I mean, like, they were 10-7 last year. Like, let's not act like they blew teams away. They had a very soft schedule because of how bad they were previously. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud, a lot of turnover-worthy plays. Take that stat for what, you know, as you are. But he had, like, basically no picks. He's already thrown more picks than he did at all last year. And then in the playoffs, they kind of fell apart. They beat Joe Flacco, and then the Ravens ran through them. I mean, just straight up killed them. So, yeah, the Stephon Diggs addition looked cool on paper, but maybe it wasn't really a sign of, yeah, here they come. They're going to take everything over. They might end up with the same record they had last year, which was 10-7? 10-7, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 7-4 now. Their saving grace, though, is their division is a train wreck. Anthony Richardson looked really nice last week, but outside of that, I mean, you're looking at Jacksonville is going to completely start over. Tennessee's probably also going to completely start over. Well, not head coach. I mean, this is his first season, but new quarterback in a bad quarterback draft class. So, I mean, I've said it before. I'd love to have another shot at Houston just because the fact that Allen, before that last drive, was, what, 9-27, and there was a chance the Bills could just win it there is quite eye-opening. how not great they are. The Bills, with their current wide receiver core, I think could absolutely take them, and I think quite handedly.
Looking back, I have no idea who I was thinking about, because I'm looking at this roster and there's Tank Dell and Nico Collins, but after that it's like Robert Woods, mm-hmm. Noah Brown. Maybe I was thinking of Noah Brown, but I remember
it might be Noah Brown.
It might have been, but I just remember somebody stepped up when there were injuries last year. Maybe it was John Metchie too, but
I don't think it was Metchie because I think this is his first year. I think it was Noah Brown.
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking of him the way I was, because I was like, you know, I just remember last year them, even though they were getting injured, they were still winning games and playing well. But like
CJ Stroud still looked amazing,
right? But like you were just saying, they played a bad schedule, and sure, you play the schedule you're given, but at the same time, I think it showed us that it's not necessarily a great indicator of what's to come. Because yes, CJ Stroud has looked fine this year, but he's not looked like he did last year.
It was totally Noah Brown.
Okay. That makes sense.
Week 8, 6 targets, 6 catches, 153 yards, a touchdown.
Yeah.
The next week, week 9, 8 targets, 7 catches, 172 yards, no touchdowns. And then a little bit later on in the year, week 14, 11 targets, 8 catches, 82 yards, a touchdown.
Why. It's because I picked him up in fantasy.
Ah!
That's why it was. Because I was like, there he is. This is a guy. I'll go get him. He'll be my post-trade deadline addition.
And yep.
Yeah. That's right. That's what I remember.
By the way, for the Texans, too, Tennessee at home at Jacksonville, their bye week, so they're going to be 9-4, most likely.
Yeah.
But then they get Miami at Kansas City, Baltimore at Tennessee. And that's where it's like, okay, maybe they could wind up a game better than last year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Houston went from a team that scared me to not really.
Yeah. What was the record again last year?
10-7.
10-7. And man, I don't know. I think they could be better than 10-7. I think they could be a few games better than 10-7, because Tennessee and Jacksonville, sure, whatever. Like those are just pushovers, honestly, at this point. Maybe not so much Tennessee, but Jacksonville has problems. It's just not going right in Jacksonville. Obviously, Miami, it's yet to be seen, but Kansas City and Baltimore, that's going to be a test. So you know, we'll see, I guess. But I think they could be 2 wins better, maybe 3.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. I mean, we haven't really seen the fallout of what's going to happen with this Kansas City loss to the Bills. I don't think it's going to affect them in the next couple weeks, but I do wonder if it's going to make them stumble at all, because we've seen that before with undefeated teams, specifically the Steelers from a few years ago and the Eagles from last year. I mean, the Eagles lost one game and then went on a massive skid after taking the Bills to overtime. And the Steelers from a few years ago, it was, oh, wow, look how good the Steelers are. And then they just fell apart and blew up in the playoffs. That was the last year Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, the 2020 Steelers. They ultimately go 12-4. They then lose to the Browns in the wild card game.
But I remember them being undefeated, and it was like, oh yeah, the Steelers are here. But it was they were not playing good opponents.
Well, it wasn't not that they were just not playing good opponents. They weren't doing anything convincingly. It was very similar to
what the Chiefs have been doing.
I also want to say the 2022 Minnesota Vikings. Yep, the 2022 Minnesota Vikings.
Oh,
13
really?
And 4 there. They do beat the Bills in Buffalo.
Crazy
Justin Jefferson
stupid,
catch.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Jones beats them in the playoffs.
Oh my God, that's right.
In the wild card round.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And that's what gave Daniel Jones his big contract.
And that's what right. gave Brian Daboll the job security and everything. Which, not to say Brian Daboll shouldn't have job security, but, you know.
Well, I mean, that was his first year, and after that it was like, okay, like.
This is the keys. The keys are yours.
Yeah,
go do it.
He's the dude. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. That, man, looking back on that, they really should not have given Daniel Jones that contract.
No. Because even that, too, was like Saquon Barkley was going off. Jones was playing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, though, at this 2022 Vikings team, again, 13-4, they beat Buffalo in overtime. It's a lot of one-score games. Indianapolis in overtime. I think they also had Josh Dobbs like a few times. Was that Josh Dobbs' year? No, that was last year. Detroit's a one-score game. New Orleans is a one-score game. Washington's a one-score game. And then their losses, Philadelphia, 24-7. Dallas, 40-3. Detroit, 34-23. And Green Bay, 41-17. So, I mean, when they lost, you knew it.
Didn't they have the worst point differential out of a winning team?
So, yeah. I think they had a negative point differential going into the playoffs at 13-4. And then, of course, they lose into the playoffs. So that'll be something now I think I'm going to try to keep an eye on or just maybe push a little bit is, you know, these two teams were compared to the Chiefs to from recent years, both lost in the wild card round.
Who would the Chiefs – obviously they have the bye.
They would have the bye at the moment.
However, if they just get to the 2 seed, they'd play Denver.
They would play Denver currently, yes.
How would you feel?
I mean, honestly, a lot like what I said yesterday. I would take that match if I was the Chiefs 10 times out of 10, 100 times out of 100.
Okay.
Give me a rookie quarterback.
They
on
did
the road
just almost beat
first...
the Chiefs 2 weeks ago.
Sure, but give me the rookie quarterback
on the road in his first playoff
start.
I guess this also depends on how well the Broncos perform in a few weeks against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Or no, that wasn't. This past game wasn't Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. Never mind. But I just. I'm trying to like pick out a team in that wild card round that I would want the Chiefs to have to face in the second round if they don't give up the bye. And I keep saying the Chargers and the Broncos, and I don't want them to play the Ravens because
I don't want the Chargers at all.
I want the Chargers to beat the Chiefs because I think the Bills can beat the Chargers. If it gets to that point.
I think so.
And this is way into the bracket, right? This is digging way down the road.
Yeah.
But I look at the Broncos, I don't think they could beat the Chiefs, but I wouldn't mind them being up against them in a potential matchup in the second round, if that is what the scenario is.
I would love Steelers-Ravens, though, round one.
Steelers-Ravens round one would be fantastic.
Oh,
that would be so
good.
But I don't want the Ravens to play the Chiefs because the Ravens always fall apart against the Chiefs. They never do anything right, and they just don't help you. Just get out of here. Don't do anything. Let play the Bills and lose. Go home. Like that's where I'm at with the Ravens.
Texans Chargers, though.
That would be fun.
That'd be a really fun like first matchup in the
because
wild card
the Chargers,
round. Chargers are sort of this ascending team. They kind of have given off the Texans vibe. Where, like no one really had huge expectations in Harbaugh's first year, but now all of a sudden it's like oh well no here they are, mm-hmm. And then of course they're also coming off of a win that for years you just knew the Chargers were going to lose it because they did. They finally don't Charger things, and they beat Cincinnati. It's sure Cincinnati has kind of their own demons they got to battle through, but they finally get that done. The Chargers kind of just like there's something about them I don't really love. I'm coming back now to what I was a few years ago when Herbert was first ascending in the league, where I'm like, I don't want to play that guy.
It's almost like that.
I'd like to avoid him.
It's almost like a new coach bump has like been existing this entire season. Like you know how like when you just keep
they finally have a good
like,
coach.
You finally get a good coach, but it's almost like.
It's not Brandon Staley.
Yeah, it's not Brandon Staley. It's not someone that's just going to fall apart against the Jaguars at the last second in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're going to be very good for years to come. And I said it yesterday, too. Like, you know, long-term view, I really like what the AFC West is looking like in terms of can someone finally take down the Chiefs? Can someone finally put them in a bad spot? Yeah, give them a run. Sal's brought it up too, like yesterday with Shelton Bulldog. Like you winning yesterday forced the Chiefs to play ball. That they have to now try to go win the one seed. They have to keep competing the whole thing. They don't have to. They can't just put it on cruise control. Again, I don't really think they cared about the undefeated season. I think if it got to a point last 2 weeks of the year, we're locked in the one seed, you'd see guys being pulled at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid is still a guy that likes playing his players in the preseason, but you'd see guys. Okay, we're now the real season begins. We're pulling guys.
A question for you. So have you seen all the discourse online about like Chiefs fans going after Bills fans and Bills players for celebrating this win?
Yeah, I think it's coping.
I'll say
that for any because fan base. I'm crazy. So tired of the opposing fan loses and goes, well, that's all right. You know, that was their Super Bowl. We'll get them later.
Yeah, like it's crazy how much
I see it though in every sport. Every sport.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it's just I see it with this one post. It's like, you know, there's no way they celebrate in their locker room like this after the game. And then there's pictures someone else posts of the Chiefs the week before beating the Broncos of Mahomes running around the field like a crazy person.
Yeah, kind of doing the same thing.
Players screaming and yelling in the locker room. And it's like,
I think it's coping.
Who cares?
I'd also tell you,
they're celebrating
though,
a win.
I'd also tell you most Chiefs fans kind of know their team is not that good this year.
Yeah.
In terms of what they have been previously. Mm-hmm. But you were 9-0.
Right.
So there was always this kind of protective shell of like, but we keep winning.
Right. It's the kind of the don't say the quiet part out loud sort of thing of like let's just not shed light on this until we absolutely have to. But now it's getting to the point where I think that the Chiefs will have to shed light on, hey, the point differential's terrible. We've barely beaten bad teams. We have a couple blowout wins, sure, but just lost to the Bills. Like that's a hard conversation to have because it is, on paper, such a good season, but at the same time, on paper, it's a bad season. And well, on the field, it's a bad season.
And they're trying to do something that's never been done, win three in a row in the Super Bowl era.
That's a lot more pressure than going undefeated.
Yeah, and they're currently seeing, you know, this season, it's just, again, another year where it's just the offense doesn't look right. Mahomes doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes right now. Mm-hmm. He didn't against the Bills, and he hasn't all year.
Last year, he looked like Patrick Mahomes, but the offense just wasn't right, which mm-hmm. That you could just kind of put down to new personnel, players getting older. But now it's gone on to, sure, you have injuries, but at the same time, now Mahomes isn't playing the way he normally does. So it's another problem in your offense. The main problem last year was just you had players getting old and you had players not performing the way they should.
Yeah.
But now it's that plus him not playing the way he should, which has never been seen.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, I'm not trying to, you know, make him sound like he's a perfect player, but at the same time, this guy threw 50 touchdowns one year.
Well, and also early in his career, it did feel like at a certain point, it's like, okay, he's like the greatest all time already.
Yeah.
Or like he's well on that track, just how good the playoff numbers were, his first season starting, mm-hmm. 50 touchdowns, and all of it.
And
so
this season,
for him just having a solid season feels like a, what's going on?
Right, I was going to say, because this season doesn't take any of that away.
No.
He's still the best player in the NFL right now in terms of career.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of this season, I don't think he's the best player even close. I really don't.
Who is the best player in football?
Right now this season?
Yeah, because I usually almost never give it to a quarterback. Because I don't usually think the best player in football.
Saquon Barkley.
I was thinking about him.
Yeah, Barkley's
thinking about him.
I was going to say Justin Jefferson, but he's been kind of quiet. Not quiet, but
I want to think about this. 803-0550, the number to call. Best player in football? Love to get your thoughts on that. Also, we were talking rivalries earlier on here in the hour. Coming up at 11 o'clock, very excited for this conversation. Aaron Quinn of Cover One will join the show. We'll also have Sal Capaccio at 11:30. And, we cannot forget Sabres After Dark tonight. They are in L.A. taking on the Kings. 10:30, puck drop. 9:30 pregame will start here on WGR. We'll also talk a little bit about that as well. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll be right back.